With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday. North America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Deflector Shield Shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Michigan to Maryland, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so that you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you this morning. Our friend Dan Shaughnessy will drop on by from the Boston Globe. He's always got good hot takes for us to warm around the campfire. And this morning, who better to talk to than Mr. Shaughnessy about the Mookie Betts-less Red Sox, how they can possibly sell this to their fan base, and the Patriots' pursuit or wait around Tom Brady's decision of where he will play in 2020, if he plays in 2020. Plus, the Celtics are a plucky team, a dangerous team of the Eastern Conference of the NBA. All of that coming up with Dan Shaughnessy in approximately, well, he'll come your way in hour number 4. Elsewhere this morning on the show, we are stunned to a news. We've got a champ and a chump, and we're looking at why things went so wrong for John Beilein this hour. Next hour, Aaron Judge is hot. Did he get robbed of an MVP because of the cheating? Teddy Bridgewater as franchise quarterback. And one MLB player believes the Astros, quote, need a beating. Huh.
You are a machine of death.
So if you want to jump in on any of those topics, let's do it. Here is your phone number, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, hit us up, DA on CBS. Also coming up later on in this hour, your best audio of the day, and that includes another bit of friendly fire from our friends on the Andy Gress Show with Jay Berman. Yikes. But the news of the morning is that Saints fans can breathe a sigh of relief as Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer, announces on his Instagram that he is returning. Let's do it again, Houdat Nation. And so for the Saints getting back their quarterback, does this make them the NFC's Super Bowl favorite? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Brees is under center. The snap, the spin, the fake handoff, drop back seven, throws a soft pass in the end zone. Backpedaling catch, touchdown. It's grabbed by Hill. That's it. That's the record. Drew Brees is thrown for more touchdown passes than any quarterback in professional football history.
I do. I mean, I think, you know, this young core that really kind of started this resurgence from the 2017 draft is all still around. I think they'll start making some signings of those guys to lock them up long term. But the core of this football team is still very, very good. And I don't think there's any question that this team is still a Super Bowl contender, if not a Super Bowl favorite caliber team.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartbreaking
Grundy.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Kevin Harlan, Westwood 1 on the game call. The touchdown pass, the record breaker for Breeze. And also Zach Streif, the voice of the Saints, who joined the Zach Gelb Show last night here on CBS Sports Radio. Not only does Drew Brees' return to the Saints fortify them as a Super Bowl contender, in my mind, it makes them the Super Bowl favorite out of the NFC. I'm looking around the NFC, and let's start with the San Francisco 49ers. We rarely, if ever, see the Super Bowl loser get back to that game. There's always an emotional letdown. The Patriots did come back after losing it to win it, but that was the first time that it happened since the 72 Dolphins. Expect the Niners to take a bit of a dive. In the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys have the talent to be a Super Bowl favorite, but we don't know about the chemistry. We don't know about the coach. And so I can't say right now the Cowboys are the favorite, considering they haven't been in the NFC Championship game in 25 years. The Packers, really good team. But from what we saw last season, do we believe Aaron Rodgers takes another level up with Matt LaFleur? Or is he now a little bit less than what he once was, meaning the rest of that team has to be a little bit better after the way they got gashed in the NFC Championship game? And already some of their wins feeling as though they kind of stocked up W's against some lesser opponents last year. I can't make them the favorites either. The Seahawks are really good. The Rams should have a bounce back season. The Vikings might be very good. But ultimately, it comes down to the Saints are the best all-around team in the NFC. And rarely, if ever, is a 13-3 team playing wild card weekend. And rarely, if ever, is that 13-3 team exiting the playoffs wild card weekend. I'm not going to go down the road of whether they got screwed on the Kyle Rudolph no call. I'm saying the Saints were a better football team this year than not playing divisional round weekend in the NFC playoffs. I believe with that defense, with those skill position players, with Michael Thomas setting records, the two-headed monster in the backfield, and getting Drew Brees back. Yes, Brees' postseason loss wasn't good this year. But Brees looked very good when he was healthy at times last year. I say this makes the Saints the Super Bowl favorite coming out of the NFC. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Look, Eagles could be good. Panthers could have a bounce-back season, although their quarterback situation seems murky. We don't know about the Bears after what happened last season. In the NFC, when you really pair it, when you really parse it, the Saints have the best overall roster and a Hall of Fame quarterback coming back right now. They should be considered the best team in the NFC. What do you think, Mraz? New Orleans? Right now, the odds-on favorite to get to the Super Bowl out of the National Football Conference?
First of all, calling it the National Football Conference.
You haven't heard it called that?
Not in quite some time. They're certainly up there. I mean, look, when you lose a Super Bowl, so it's hard for me to say the 49ers because I think everybody will want to jump on that because when you lose a Super Bowl, I mean, look what happened to the Rams this year. But on paper, another year older for Drew Brees. Saints really good, a playoff team that lost to the Vikings. But am I convinced they're going to be better than, I don't know, a healthy Eagles team, a healthy Rams team? Like some of those teams are then going to rise back to the pack, and I think it's very short-sighted just to assume, all right, Saints got Drew Brees back. They are the favorite when they just got knocked out in the wild card round and have actually now regressed for three straight years.
I don't know if you can really say they regressed just because they didn't get as far in the playoffs. I mean, last year's 13-3 season was largely without Drew Brees, how good that supporting cast is.
But how many times can you get to the playoffs and have heartbreak after heartbreak?
Okay, so that's a different conversation. Whether emotionally they're ready to get back into the playoffs and grind it out again. That's interesting. But from a roster standpoint, wouldn't you take the Saints roster against anybody in the NFC?
I certainly wouldn't not take them over anybody. I might go
That's
even.
A double negative.
I guess my point would be, I don't know that I would clearly take the Saints roster over, let's say, the 49ers roster, even the Rams roster.
Well, the 49ers defense is better step by step, but I can't say that the 49ers skill position, you know, on the offensive side of things is better than the Saints.
No.
The Saints are clearly better.
No, but when their defense is as dominant as was last year and they held down Patrick Mahomes until he, you know, went off for the fourth quarter, how can I not at least say they're on par with the Saints overall as a team when all of that balances out?
I don't know. I mean, the Saints defense is pretty good.
You don't play football, you know, by saying, well, this quarterback's better, this wide receiver's better. It's about the 53 guys,
right? That's fair. So but overall, top to bottom, 1 through 53, I think the Saints are the best roster in the NFC.
They're there. They're right there. I just can't clear-cut say it, and we assume. Here's what I actually will tell you. I think the same cases we made for Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady last year are there. I think that Drew Brees last year missing that bulk of time early in the year when he got hurt was a benefit to the Saints. I think that allowed his arm to be fresher down the stretch, and I think that was actually a good thing for the Saints. If Drew Brees is healthy and he plays all 16 games this year, is a little speed going to come off the fastball by Drew Brees at the end?
Could. And
is that where the Saints fall apart in the postseason?
But so, I would rather have Drew Brees playing 16 games than put my trust right now in Taysom Hill.
I agree with that.
So this is the best case scenario for the Saints.
But I would also say, I think mentally, over what we just talked about, getting over the hump, I actually think it would behoove. How about that for a big word?
That's very nice. I said National Football Conference. You said behoove in the first 12 minutes of this show.
This is a big morning. I got about 6 hours sleep, okay? It would behoove Drew Brees and the Saints, I think, for Drew Brees preseason to say to his team and say publicly, this is my last year, I'm retiring.
Well, I think that's implied now. If he's doing the I'm coming back on Instagram at 40 years old, I think this is his last run.
We believe that and we think it, but what if they get to the NFC Championship game, lose again, and then he feels great? And you don't know. If he actually says it and the team knows it, I think that's a different mentality for the team that, hey, we have to, like, there's no other excuse here. This is Drew's last ride. We have to do this. I think there's something, a mental edge that can come with that. And that might be just what the Saints need, that little extra oomph to get him over the top.
Well, I agree. I think this is his last run. And if this is his last run, he should say it's his last run. Not that he needs a retirement tour.
No, he doesn't need to be collecting surfboards when he goes to Tampa for a long time.
Yeah, but it does get kind of tiresome every year wondering, is this the last run? And this certainly feels like one last gasp if he's going to come back on Instagram yesterday.
And the one thing they have going for them is a division that once seemed like it was one of the hardest in football has completely cleared out here.
Yes.
I mean, Matt Rhule in Carolina, they're going to take a step back this year. Who knows who's going to quarterback the Bucs, and who has any idea or any trust what the Falcons are going to be with Dan Quinn coming back?
The Falcons have a really good roster, but you cannot trust Dan Quinn to get the most out of that roster. The Saints, you're absolutely right, are by far the best team in that division. Look, I mean, the Packers probably needed a few breaks to go 13-3. The Niners offense, and they should probably add, so we'll see what their weapons are added to this year in the offseason, I think are not going to be 13-3 again.
What about the Seahawks?
Well, I do think the Seahawks are lurking. Absolutely, the Seahawks are lurking. And I think the Rams are lurking. I mean, remember that the Rams went 9-7 last year. They're not far from being an 11-5 team. And 11-5 could win that division if we see the Niners take a few games back. Which means, all that is to say, I think that the Saints are set up to be a 12-win team again, which I can't trust the Vikings. I don't know if I can trust the Packers. I know I can't trust the Cowboys. I worry about the Eagles. It feels like there's going to be, once again, a bunch of good teams in the NFC. I think the Saints have the potential to be a great team in the NFC.
I think I'm just viewing the Saints right now, and I know this is unfair because Drew Brees already won a Super Bowl, a little bit like the Bills in the 90s in that they should absolutely be there. Everything's there, but I've been scorned?
Scarred.
Scarred by what's happened the last 3 years and how it's played out. And I know one of them wasn't necessarily their fault, but it just seems like when push comes to shove now, this team, as great as they've been in the regular season, for whatever reason, luck and what you need to get over the top is not on their side. So it's tough for me to just jump all in and go, they're the favorites, they're getting to the Super Bowl.
Fair, but everything changes with that perception. if Nickell Robey-Coleman is called for PI. Everything about that.
That's true.
That just means they would be playing in a Super Bowl, and who knows? Maybe they win that Super Bowl, maybe not, but...
But it didn't happen.
If it was the proper call, nobody is saying, why can't they get to the big game?
You're right, but again, mentally, that has to wear on you. That was a big part of it, and this year we spent the whole year worrying about what refs were calling what in New Orleans.
What a nightmare in Cleveland for John Beilein. Already out. Get him out. Hashtag get him out. Done for the day. The guy signed a 5-year deal and didn't make it through year number one. How and why did it go so wrong for one of the most respected coaches in basketball? We'll do that coming up next. Your thoughts on Breeze back to the Saints. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. This is your morning mothership on CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Beam me up, DA. You know what? The Watch DA stream, I'm hooked on it. Such a good product.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, I encourage you to get hooked on that good product as well. It's free. No subscription, no sign up. It's available on any device. It's watchda.com. The Wizard of Watch DA, Andrew Kaplan, pressing buttons, sounding alarms. There's a gerbil on a hamster right now running around. It's an amazing contraption back there as he pulls the levers at watchda.com. That's available on any device. Andrew Bogish is pointing out that I think it's a hamster on a wheel.
Well, you said a gerbil on a hamster, which is a whole other thing.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. I think you were talking about bestiality for a second there, not hamster wheels.
That's not happening, by the way, at watchda.com.
I mean, it might be in that room. Who knows?
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. I think I said a gerbil on a hamster wheel.
You left out wheel.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, gerbil on a hamster. It's a weird mating season.
Feels like spring.
We're making another Pete.
Bogus from way downtown. Bang! It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Tweet at me, DA, on CBS, and be listening later on to the show when we will answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. We should get Bogish and your mother-in-law in the same room together.
The other guy?
I should ask her later, did you mean by a little off that a gerbil and a hamster mated, and that's what created Pete?
Merez is
the one that looks like you, but yeah, a little off?
Yeah, Pete, yeah.
Merez's mother-in-law caught on video saying, Pete the Body looks like you, but a little bit off.
The one that looks like you, but a little off?
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, Pete. Yeah,
so again, Sean is Coke. Pete is like ShopRite soda.
RC Cola. Yeah.
The other guy.
The hand movements in the video, you know, like just a little off.
Hey. So John Beilein already out in Cleveland as head coach of the Cavaliers. There's a couple of reasons why this felt like it wasn't going to work. Number one, while he's a great, great college coach, not a good one, a great college coach, he's 67 years old. Asking a 67-year-old college coach to immediately adjust to the NBA feels like, even if you're a great coach, feels like a pretty huge challenge. Not to be ageist, but you know, at 67 years old, can you immediately kind of reverse course, alter your coaching methods, connect with a different breed? Granted, when you're 67, you should be able to connect better with 30-year-olds and professionals than college kids, but you do something long enough, And are you on a whim able to adjust all your methods? Number two, the Cavaliers were going to be awful no matter what. I mean, absolutely drop-dead awful. Most of everybody, most NBA fans couldn't name anybody on that roster aside from the leftovers of the LeBron years, like Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. I mean, it is just a grab bag of puke with the Cavaliers. Now, on top of it, anything Dan Gilbert thinks is a good idea is almost always a bad idea. So Dan Gilbert giving a boatload of money to a 67-year-old college coach and a bad basketball team that is somewhat hamstrung financially because they gave all of the money to Kevin Love immediately seemed like it wasn't going to work because Dan Gilbert was the one pulling the trigger saying, I think this is a good idea. Signed, Comic Sans Serif. So all of that felt like a bad combination. And I just think that John Beilein didn't adjust, didn't have a good roster, and then lost that team very early. I'm wondering if he lost the team before the slip of the tongue and he called them thugs in that film room. I think that they were already losing. It was a group of guys already that didn't quite buy in. He wasn't connecting with them. Kevin Love was already barking at his head coach. I mean, Kevin Love was fighting with his head coach before he called them thugs. It's Kevin Love. Not exactly, you know, a hothead around the NBA. I think that locker room already had tuned out John Beilein, and then the thug slip of the tongue happened, and it gave them all reason to go, all right, good, we're done here. Right, we're good, we're done. Because of the professionals. They're not going to take that, whether it's a slip of the tongue or not. They run things, the coach doesn't. And if you're already losing credibility inside that locker room, that's a really good way to lose whatever little bit of cred you might have had left. Here's the thing. We don't know how much John Beilein got paid and is getting paid. They never announced the salary. So he signed a 5-year deal with the Cavaliers. Who knows? It could have been $6 million a year, $7 million a year. He was making $4 a year at Michigan. He had to make more than that to go to the Cavaliers and knowingly step into a rocky situation. How much did he get bought out for? How much do they owe him? The deal is, if it was guaranteed, the guy is set and doesn't have to coach now. But as soon as this college basketball season is over, hell, before then, he's going to have his pick of jobs. Because John Beilein isn't a good college basketball coach. He's one of the best college basketball coaches. This is a guy that began in the 80s at Lemoyne. Lemoyne in central New York, home of the Dolphins in the Mid-East Collegiate Conference. And guess what he did? He won. And then he got a job in Division I and went to Canisius. And he won and brought them to the tournament in the mid-90s. Parlayed that into the Richmond job. And he won, getting them to the tournament in his first year. Then he parlayed that into the West Virginia job, where he won, getting them to an Elite Eight and a Sweet 16. And then he parlayed that into the Michigan job, where he won, getting to the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16. And the national championship game twice, one of which he got screwed because Louisville was cheating when they beat him in the national championship game. He was only in the NBA for like 13 minutes. He will step out of the NBA, and if he wants a college job, can take a college job, the one that he wants. The first big job that opens up, he's going to get offered. And if he's making money from the Cavaliers in this buyout, he doesn't have to soak them for everything that they're worth. And so maybe that gives them more money to flesh out a coaching staff, an assistant coaching staff, or recruiting budget. Beilein will be fine if he wants to coach again. But why it went bad with the NBA? It was a bad roster, a bad situation, and he's an old guy that was probably thinking it was going to go a certain way because he had done things a certain way in college since the 80s. And guess what? It's hard enough to go from college to the NBA. It's really rare that we get success stories. Billy Donovan's been a pretty good success story, and that's kind of a tepid success story because it's not like he's going to the NBA Finals. It's really hard to make that jump. It's really, really hard. A lot of good coaches can't do it. Patino, Calipari. A lot of good coaches can't do it. And when you've been doing it since the 80s, I mean, the odds are stacked against you. It working on a bad basketball team. Maybe John Beilein works on the Lakers or the Bucks. It's not working for the Cavaliers. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. If you want to jump in on our topics today, Drew Brees coming back in New Orleans, John Beilein toast in Cleveland, and a lot of Astro stuff still to come. It is such a pleasure to have Andrew Bogish back in the saddle, back after his vacay, which was delved into as part of Side B of the PGP. Andrew, good morning.
Hola, amigos. I'm back.
So you didn't really lay this out to us before you left. You celebrated your 40th yet, or it's still to come?
Well, my actual birthday is the 25th, so next Tuesday, I believe that is. Yes, next Tuesday.
But so you're about a week away from turning 40,
mm-hmm.
and your wife wanted to celebrate.
Correct.
And so what a cool wife you have. I just love her. She's just so fun. She's awesome, and she's actually shockingly thoughtful about you.
Yes, and I had said she threw me, because she is amazing, she threw me a surprise 30th birthday party. And it randomly in conversation, I was like, please don't, and not because I don't want to celebrate. It's like, I don't need a big party. I'm cool. Like, don't worry about it. Just let's go to a nice day with our family and that's it. And then all of a sudden she springs this trip on me back in the summer, because that's when she booked it and she knew she couldn't wait like 6 months to tell me. Plus it was before my birthday, so she had to give it to me at some point beforehand. So I've known about this since August. So it was a long countdown to get to this trip this month.
So Katie Bogish is so awesome. She also books this after the Super Bowl.
Correct. Although this was, we went for something. So we went for, it's a weekend. I guess it's a some of an industry trend now.
You went to Cancun.
Went to Cancun to see Dave Matthews play three nights of shows. So, I mean, it was predetermined. Like, it just luckily fell post Super Bowl. She would not have booked it Super Bowl weekend. She would have known to at least cross-reference that.
But NFC, AFC championship game weekend.
Could have happened.
You guys were going.
Correct.
Okay, so there's three nights. It's actually Dave Matthews Band, or is it like a cover band?
No. It's Dave Matthews and Tim Reynolds, who is his guitar player. It's not the full bench. It's the two of them.
Okay, so they play three nights.
Three nights.
Does everybody go to all three shows?
Yeah, it's a thing. Like, it's a whole package. The only differentiation is where, because the resort we were at has three different buildings. One being a higher-end thing, so that's a choice you can make, and you can choose how many days you're there on either end of the shows, but you're there for three nights of concerts.
Okay, so is Katie also a DMB
yes.
fan? Okay, so yeah. You guys have that in common, go to see these shows. Then you tell Mraz and Side B, which really raised a lot of questions around here.
Yeah.
There's a culture of trinket swapping.
Yeah, you know, I should have brought it. I have one in my bag still.
Oh, losers.
So we joined like a Facebook page about the concert series, so we knew like what to bring, what people did, and all of a sudden we start seeing that people bring things to trade and pass around: bracelets, headbands, koozies.
Do they bring weed?
People did bring weed,
okay,
and that was
that
also
be
traded and shared. Yes,
okay,
and there were
yeah.
tips on this page of how to get your weed to Mexico.
Oh,
so
wow.
They, yeah.
Okay.
No, it was full service.
Okay.
And we were preceded by Dead & Company was there the weekend before. Fish is there right now.
Oh, my.
So we were bookended by pros on
yeah.
sneaking drugs through airports.
Yeah, that's an explosive offense on
yeah,
both ends of you.
Exactly. So we ended up making like rubber bracelets that we passed out. And we must have, I don't know, 50 of them.
So, groups of married adults swapping homemade bracelets feels like there could be something that it represents.
No. This, I mean, listen, were people swapping other things and having fun? Of course there were. There were single people there. There were groups of dudes, groups of ladies, people in their 20s. There were people who seemed to be too old to like Dave Matthews. I mean, there was a full gamut of the entire Dave Matthews spectrum. But the handouts, the exchanges were legit, like, and because we're all lame, like, some were better than others. So, like, you were trying to track down, like, who do you have that? Who does somebody had, like, headbands, and we're like, everybody wanted to get a headband because they were the only headbands being passed around. So some things did get a little more heft behind them.
There's got to be a lot of people going to these shows. If you are the headband couple, how many headbands you got to bring?
I mean, there were, I would, somewhere between probably 5,000 and 8,000 people there.
Right. So yeah. You're, how many? How
we
many,
had 100 bracelets, and we were and we were tapped out.
And so somebody says, okay, yeah, you got to find the bearded guy in the T-shirt because he gave me this bracelet.
Yeah, but there were a lot of dudes that looked like me there, so it was tough.
I was going to say, yeah.
Like, well, I didn't really stand out.
Like, all right, it's kind of cool. Like, oh, where are you from? Oh, I'll take the Idaho one, or whatever.
The the Idaho bracelet? Yeah,
like, I'm just saying, what do you do with all this crap when you get home?
Yeah, I mean, that's the new battle. So we've already seen on this Facebook page what people do with them. They people had poster canisters, and they put the bracelets on the poster canister, so filled up the entire cardboard tube that you'd put a poster in, and like then they just put that somewhere. Well, I'm sure ours will get thrown out at some point.
So,
but
is there any sentimental value to a rando stranger giving you a bracelet beyond the weekend that you're there?
I mean,
like,
I,
on
I
the
guess
Monday
not.
That you return, are you like, who cares about this?
No, I mean, I want to do some. I don't want to throw them out. So it's up to us to figure out some way to do them. Worst case, I might just put them in a plastic bag and throw them in like the box in my closet.
Yeah.
That I have like my old press passes right. saved in and stuff like that.
So in 50 years, one more thing, your kids have to move out when you're dead. I mean, come on. On, throw them out.
Throw them out of the league.
So glad that Sean and I are back.
I hate to take the Pete approach here, but can't anybody just go to a concert anymore?
That's really Pete the Body
take. I mean, really, can you just go and listen to the music? Give me a little juice there. Do you need to be handing out bracelets and headbands like your kids in Valentine's Day in school?
This is the most fun I've had in a long time.
I wasn't asking for anybody's hand in marriage or a little roll in the hay, but, I mean, yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. It cost like $50 to make 100 bracelets.
Okay, so let's ask this question.
Yeah.
Were there couples that you got something from that you were like, oh, I don't really want it from them because this feels a little icky?
No.
Huh.
No. Okay. Not in my experience.
Because I generally don't even like taking, I don't know, conversations with many
right.
people that I don't
you
know.
You won't even have a donut I split in half with a knife with me.
Let alone a stranger giving me a headband.
Right.
I don't know, that they've already sweat through because they're...
No, but like this is it, because this is the...
Is anybody handing out Horace Grant goggles?
I wish. This is like the fourth or fifth year this has happened, and most people have already been there before. So like people just walk around and literally they got a little bag and they just hand things out and they keep going. There's... Or you're bouncing in the pool, and we had a whole ton of them on the straw of our drink. Here, take that one. Which color do you want? Oh, cool, I don't have that one. And it's done. It's not, you guys are way overthinking this.
Well, I'm just saying a bunch of strangers that have been smoking weed and drinking booze all weekend together at a resort that are handing out, like, homemade jewelry just feels like there's got to be some type of subversive element to this.
Yeah, and also, we're overthinking this? You joined a Facebook page to see what trinkets you had to bring to Mexico.
No. Drew, we joined the Facebook page to learn, like, what was actually going to happen over the 5 days that we were there and happened to come upon the fact that people were bringing these things. But, like, the Facebook page was far more helpful in terms of, like, what we should bring with us, how we should pack, what to expect, like, is it cold at night? Like, that kind of, like, actual information was helpful from there.
What was
the trinket thing was secondary.
What was the best drink you had?
Well, I discovered how good Fresca and vodka are together.
Fresca
and
vodka?
Yeah.
Baloney.
Because, you mean, you're drinking all day long, and you got to get to a three-hour concert that doesn't begin until 8:30, so you got to be careful, because you don't want to be the dude that's asleep from 4 p.m. on.
And when you're hitting 40, that is a real concern.
And I got like a 32-ounce Yeti, so when I'm pouring in there, that's a lot of drink that they're giving you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, be safe and had some tequila sunrises early in the morning. Felt like a morning drink.
No doubt. Love it.
And then I couldn't drink beer all day. So vodka, I was like, all right, well, I had some vodka and sodas for a while. I'm like, let me, and I walked to a table and there's a huge jug of Fresca. I'm like, pour it in. Let's see what happens. And it was delicious.
Wow.
And Fresca's got no sugar. It's got no calories. And, clear liquor is better than dark liquor.
A Fresca vodka.
It's about getting through the whole day.
Okay. This summer, if Bob's Bar serves a Fresca vodka, it's got to be called the Bogish.
Okay. All right.
He now has a signature brinket.
Thank
drink
you.
At your dad's bar.
I did not know the Fresca was no sugar, no calories, so I'm going to lay off there.
Is it a diet thing?
No, it's just it's supposed to be like seltzer, but it's not exactly that.
Because it's actually good with Blue Chair Bay rum, but now that I know vodka, okay. There we go.
Now there's a bogus on the,
all right,
the menu.
We'll add the bogus to the menu, but we ain't handing out trinkets at Bob's Bar. That's not happening.
Don't you already have T-shirts?
Sweatshirts. We're working on the tanks for the summer lunch.
Come on, little piggy bracelets?
No, we're not handing out piggy bracelets. There's no way. No trinkets. No trinkets at Bob's Bar. And if we see Dave Matthews, we see the whole band, not a guitarist and him.
Andrew Bogish is in with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Oh, hey, guys. Here's your report. It is sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. First, it was James Paxton's back. Now it's Aaron Judge's shoulder. The Yankees may have to steal more signs this season just to be successful. Judge scratched from throwing and BP at spring training yesterday.
We did put him through a battery test, so he had the MRI and everything. It was what his shoulder's always been, you know, not much change. So we don't think it's a big issue, but while we have kind of the time on our side, we want to make sure we're smart and get this out of there completely and then we roll.
I don't know. That sounds chronic to me. Aaron Boone did add that Judge will not play this weekend when spring training games begin, but should be back sometime before the All-Star break. Elsewhere in spring training, the Red Sox and Padres still said to be discussing a trade involving San Diego outfielder Will Myers, and Boston signs veteran catcher Jonathan Lucroy to a minor league deal. In non-John Beilein NBA news, Nets guard Kyrie Irving again dealing with shoulder discomfort. He is out indefinitely, having already missed 26 games because of that shoulder. College Hoops, Baylor making Big 12 history in Norman, Oklahoma.
Avion Mitchell into the front court, crosses the timeline and stands there directing traffic. Now we'll move to the left side. Passes left corner to Butler. A three in the air and good.
Well, they're doing a great job finding him. He's got the hot hand. He's got 22 now.
As heard on Learfield IMG College, Jared Butler 22 in the second-ranked Bears 65-54 victory at Oklahoma. That's 23 in a row, the longest winning streak ever by a Big 12 school. Baylor was sharing the mark with the 96-97 Jayhawks. Fifth-ranked Dayton, a 66-61 victory at VCU. Number 7, Maryland, down Northwestern, 76-67, behind 22 points and 19 boards from Jalen Smith. Eighth-ranked Penn State, though, losing at home to Illinois, 62-56. Drew Brees is back, announcing on social media yesterday he'll play 2020. He and the Saints need to agree on a new contract now, and then the team makes decisions on Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill. It is Seattle, not Washington or Buffalo or the TV booth for Greg Olsen, the former Panthers tight end reportedly signing for $7 million with the Seahawks. And more good news yesterday on Ryan Newman. Roush Fenway Racing says Newman is awake and speaking with his family and doctors. However, we still don't know any specific injuries Newman suffered in Monday night's horrible wreck at the end of the Daytona 500. DA?
Thank you, Andrew. Two things there. We had Denny Hamlin on the show yesterday, and he had won the Daytona 500. Really interesting to hear him go through the timeline of celebrating and then realizing what had happened with Ryan Newman, because he was getting scorched on Twitter as it was happening. He was doing his victory celebration, and we all knew that Ryan Newman's car was on fire and he was being, you know, taken out of the car. So Joe Gibbs Racing and Hamlin took a pounding as people thought they were being really crass and insensitive. They didn't know. His headset was off. He wasn't looking at this. He had no idea. So him walking through that yesterday on the show was really interesting. And if you're a race fan, I highly encourage you to listen to that interview. It's available at cbssportsradio.com. It's available on our podcast page as well, because I thought he was really honest in saying, you know, this is a hard celebration. I can't really feel that great today because a guy that I compete against is, you know, not fighting for his life, luckily, but sustained really terrible injuries during basically the moment that I learned that I was a three-time Daytona Cup champion. So pretty interesting stuff. Second thing is, do we think Greg Olsen's going to be a good announcer or is a good announcer? He was doing XFL announcing.
I kind of like him on the XFL.
He had done some fill-in work the last couple of years. I've thought he's been pretty dry and vanilla, not giving you a lot, but he's really trying to make this push. I mean, he's been doing announcing for the last, like, 5 years.
I'll say this, and this is really no slight, but I've watched every XFL game so far to this point.
Full?
If not live, I've gone back and through my DVR while on the elliptical.
You've
and stuff.
Watched eight XFL games?
I've watched every minute of XFL
you
football.
You sicko.
So
far.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Okay.
Truth be told, they're a very easy thing while I'm doing cardio at the gym to go back and watch
through. Okay.
I think Olsen's the best analyst of all the announcing teams.
Okay, so they got four announcing teams.
Yeah.
One is a McElroy.
Yes, McElroy. One is Klatt does a good job, but
Klatt.
I don't know if Klatt fully gets the XFL part of this, where he's part of the college football.
Okay.
And
who's with Menifee? Klatt?
It's just Klatt. And then I'm forgetting the other team where McAfee's on the sidelines.
That's Levy, right? Steve Levy?
No, Steve Levy's not on the McAfee team.
Oh,
he's
okay.
on the Diana Rossini team. I'm forgetting who it was, but didn't stick out. I think Olsen's been very good. Hmm. And I think he fits I mean, not that you would – Charles Davis is awesome too, but he fits perfectly with Burkhardt. Hmm. I think Olsen's got he's getting better.
Okay. I think he will be good.
And you know what, by the way? Good for him doing a full season of XFL football instead of just, hey, I'm retired, let me jump into Monday Night Football and then possibly facing ridicule in that spot. Get the reps.
Well, he's not doing a full season because he's coming back with the Seahawks.
Right, but he's in for the full season of the XFL.
He's going to do every week?
Yeah.
Even in, he's got an NFL job?
Minicamp doesn't start until May.
I would think, though, that there's something to do before.
Oh, he's got Monday through Friday
yeah,
to
Monday
do whatever
through Friday,
he wants.
Do whatever he wants.
He's got to study those Battle Hawks rosters.
He knows what's up.
I mean, Josh McCown was coaching high school football, wasn't he? And then showing up for the Eagles on the weekends?
True. Aaron Murray didn't know he was going to be playing in the XFL until we told him.
Right. And on that note, Rubinoff just said, I don't want to be Pete, but we have to break. So.
Nobody wants to be Pete. When we come back, Gresh still taking shots at the DA show. This is CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.